Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
We are in a series on the subject of honor. Last week we talked about the importance of honoring fathers. Very important to honor fathers. We looked over at David before he became king and how he was being attacked by who was like a father to him, King Saul. And Saul was attacking David and threatening his life and spreading lies about him, trying to make people believe that David was trying to overthrow the king and trying to make himself king himself. Of course, none of these things were true. David was very submitted to King Saul. In fact, he loved King Saul like a father. And yet, Saul lied about him and again, time and time again, tried to kill David. And there was this one time where they met together out in the field, and Saul had come out to kill David. And they had met together. David was in a position where he could have killed Saul, but he didn't kill Saul. And rather he just showed Saul that I could have killed you, but I didn't because I valued your life. And we're talking about honor. We're talking about valuing. That's why this series is called Honor, God's Value System. And what you honor, you value, you esteem, you look upon as precious, costly. And again, honor is a lot like money, except it's spiritual, not material. And yet it will affect the material part of our life if we will lay hold of an honorable life. We want to become more and more honorable. And in 1 Samuel, just a little quick review, 1 Samuel chapter 26, chapter 26, over in verse 21, King Saul, after he realized that David could have taken his life, but didn't, he made this statement. He said to David, he said, "My life was precious in your eyes this day." My life was precious. Here was a man that was trying to kill David. A man that was hurting David's reputation, it would seem. And yet, Saul recognized that he was still precious in David's sight. He was still valuable to David. And verse 24, David says back to Saul, "And indeed, as your life was valued much this day in my eyes." Again, there's that word valued, talking about honor. Your life was honored. David honored Saul by not killing him. He honored him. "And indeed, as your life was valued much this day in my eyes, so let my life be valued much in the eyes of the Lord, and let him deliver me out of all tribulation." You know, as we walk in the heart of God towards others, and we honor others, we value other people's lives, we don't look at people as just like they're obstacles, something to get around in traffic. But we begin to recognize that every life is precious, every life is important, every life is valuable to us. It will cause us to be more valuable to God, or we could say more useful to God. We can increase our spiritual net worth by valuing others. And that's why David said, "As your life was valued much this day in my eyes." And notice that, valued much. I mean, in other words, "Saul, you are so costly to me. You are so expensive to me. You are so valuable to me." And here's this man who's trying to kill him. And yet he sees, "You're so precious. You're so valuable." It reminds me of somebody else. It reminds me of someone by the name of Jesus, who even after they had nailed him to a tree, and even though they had beaten him, mocked him, slandered him, yet from the cross, he doesn't call fire down from heaven, but he calls mercy down. And he values even those that are trying to kill him. That's the heart of God. That's the heart of God. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ honored us. Even though we are blasphemers, despisers of God. In other words, we didn't honor him. He still turned around and honored us. He surely did not return evil for evil. Instead, he honored the dishonorable and caused us to become honorable. That's why we're here today. He has changed us by his great love for us, his great respect for you and I. It's amazing to think that God respects us that much. He respects us so much that he would give his life for us, even while we were so disrespectful towards him. So David had that heart, and that is the heart that is to be in every one of us. Hearts full of the love of God, walking in the honor of God. How many people know most people, unlike David, would have gotten seriously offended at Saul for his lying about him, for his attacking him, right? Trying to mess up his life. Most people would not have valued, honor, esteemed as precious, as costly, someone that was messing up their life or seemed to be or trying to mess up their life. Most folks would have gotten offended. Just the way it is, especially in the time and hour we're living in now, because Jesus said concerning the last days that many will be offended. He said that was one of the signs of the end times, that many will be offended. And we are truly living in the end times right now. We're living in the last of the last days, and many people are living their life offended. Offended. They got offense in their hearts towards numerous people. There's people that are offended at their parents. There's people that are offended at their spouse, ex-spouse, their other ex-spouse. They're offended at their current spouse. They're offended at their kids, the way their kids treat them after all they did for their kids. They're offended at their employer. They're offended at fellow employees, fellow workers. They're offended by school teachers, offended by the government, offended by just on and on and on. People's hearts are full of offense. They're offended. What does it mean to be offended? It means to be hurt. Has anybody ever hurt you before? You're hurt, upset, wounded, not necessarily physically, but emotionally. You're hurt, you're wounded, thus you're disgruntled, aggravated, angry, resentful. See, that's what it means to be offended, resentful. Not respectful, resentful. Hurt. Wounded. A lot of folks are walking around hurt. You can see it. Many times they're licking their wounds. They're licking their hurts. In other words, they're using their tongue and they're talking about it a lot. They're talking about their hurts. They're talking about what they did to me and how they hurt me. And I did all these things for them. I was so good to them and I took care of them and I helped them. And they turned around and for my help, they hurt me. And they messed up my life. My life is all messed up today because of them. My life can never get on track because of what was done to me. People are carrying around these wounds that will never heal because they're offended, they're aggravated, they're resentful. A lot of times folks hide these things down in their hearts, in their soul. And we don't see much of it. They can hide it. But there's a lot of pain in a lot of people. But I want you to notice, David, that even though he was severely attacked, severely taken advantage of, even though all these terrible things happened, he never got hurt. He never was wounded spiritually. He only got helped. The more things happened to him that were supposed to be against him, the more it somehow all turned around for his good and lifted him up that much higher. Why? Because he didn't look down on the one that was attacking him. He honored him. What do you mean? Valued him. What do you mean? Looked up to them. Looked up. He looked up to Saul. He looked up to the ones that tried to mess up his life. And in looking up and honoring them, it only brought him up when he was dishonored by them. The only one that can bring you down is the one you look down on in your heart. The only ones that can bring you down are the ones that you look down on. In other words, what? You despise them. You despise them. You don't esteem them. You don't admire them. You don't see anything good in them. You just see those negative things. And in seeing those negative things, looking down at them, seeing them as cheap and worthless, will actually cause you to become more and more worthless. Will actually cause you to be brought down into a lower place. We don't want to walk around despising people. We don't want to walk around offended at people. Offense is a trap from Satan. It's the snare of Satan to try to keep you in bondage to the devil, keep you in misery, keep you upset, keep you unhappy. I'm telling you, unhappy, upset people can't do very much at all for the kingdom of God. They can't accomplish really anything of any eternal benefit. You say, well, you don't know what happened to me. I understand. Do you know what happened to David? Before we talk about all that's happened to you, have you had spears thrown at you? Well, I had a pot or a pan thrown at me. Okay. Have you ever had a spear thrown at you? Pots and pans can hurt. I understand that. A spear is even worse. Right? And even though all these things were, these spears and these weapons were thrown at David, none of what was happening to him got into his heart. And that's probably why he escaped the sword in battle. Why? Because even when he went out on the battlefield and he was slaughtering people on the battlefield, he was not doing it because he was a bitter, resentful, angry, hateful person. In fact, Goliath was not someone that offended David, and therefore David went out there to kill him. He brought the judgment of God to him. He didn't bring his own hostility, anger, and bitterness. He didn't have something personally in his heart against them. In other words, something that personally had happened to him. Well, you've done this to me, so I'm going to come after you, Goliath. Goliath didn't even know David. David was completely out of the battle. But David saw this man standing there insulting the living God. And he got provoked and anointed by God to bring God's judgment to the situation. What David did, he did by faith in the Spirit of God. He did not do in hate. He did not do it in the flesh. That's the difference. So David, as a result of not having offense in his heart, not walking around offended and hurt and bitter and angry at the, I'm just angry at the world. That's what's so amazing about David. He can go out there, man, and he can go out there and get this great victory and slaughter all these enemies of the Lord, as they were referred to as. He would wipe out all the enemies of the Lord, and then he'd go back, pick up his harp, and ring, 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 ring. God, I love you.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longs after thee. You alone.
So, David. Great acoustics. David. He's writing these psalms, these love songs to God and all these things. That's not a bitter, angry, resentful, lustful man. This is a man full of love, full of peace, full of joy. Isn't that right? And I believe because his enemies could never get to his heart, they couldn't have his flesh either. And he would walk right through that battlefield. No weapon formed against him could prosper. Didn't matter what kind of spears were thrown at him. He wouldn't walk out of the room offended at Saul.
He's trying to kill my life and all I've ever done. All I've done is bless him. I've just been good to him. He's messed up my life. He's ruined my reputation. He has slandered me all over the nation.
He didn't do that, did he? Did he? No. Here comes the man. He's got him right in front. Could kill him. But what does he do? He honors him and says, your life was very much valued in my eyes. No offense in his heart. What's your excuse? What's your excuse? See, just because bad things happen to us, that doesn't mean we need to go bad. Just because rotten things happen doesn't mean you have to begin to rot from the inside out. You don't have to corrode and become corrupt yourself. In fact, you can still, through those situations, by the grace of God, by the love of God that's been poured out into your heart, you can actually become more beautiful. Come on. You can become more humble. More sensitive to the Spirit of God, more sensitive to the life of God, so that what the devil meant for evil against you, come on, is only turning around for your good and for God's glory. It's only working to lift you up and bring you up higher. We don't have excuses to be offended. In fact, you can't be offended by what you honor. What you honor cannot offend you. What you esteem, what you look up to, what you admire, what you respect can never bring you down and cause you to be a hurt, wounded person, cause you to be angry with that individual or individuals that didn't treat you right. That were disrespectful to you. You can only be helped by those you highly esteem because of the high expectations you have for them. You're expecting good things. You're expecting big things. If you're valuing somebody, they're costly to you, then you are expecting big things. What you respect, you expect to receive big things from. You're expecting big things from the one that you respect. So guess what? Even when they do something bad and wrong, it still works to help you rather than hurt you because of your expectations. In other words, your focus is on the good in the midst of the evil. No matter what's going on, you're looking and saying, how's this going to work out for my good? You're seeing the good in it. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that love believes the best of all people. It believes the best. It doesn't think on the bad things. It doesn't think on the ugly things. It doesn't think on the wrong things about people. It's thinking on the good things. What good thing is God doing in the midst of this situation? Because it takes faith in God to be a truly honorable person. It takes faith in God. Faith and honor go together. When you're walking in faith, you're trusting God, you're not worried about your life. And you know all things are working for your good. Why? Because God is working for you. God is not against you. God is there to help you. God's there to cause everything that's formed against you to backfire on the devil and cause it to raise you up, bring you higher. God's working. So faith knows that. So faith's not so in love with itself that it's just, oh, they've ruined my life. Can anybody ruin your life if God says, I'm for you? Huh?
I looked up to them and they devastated me.
Lie. If you were looking up to them, they could never have devastated you. You can only have been helped by them, even when they've done bad things. Everything Saul did to David turned around for the good. It only helped him. Saul tried to kill David, but in actuality, he just kinged David. That's all they did. Goliath, come on. Goliath comes out against David, and what happens? Makes David famous. I mean, David became a household name in Israel. Thanks to Goliath. Great marketing. Why? Because David had faith in God. He wasn't in fear of Goliath. He wasn't in fear of Saul. He wasn't in fear of man. He had no fear of man. So therefore, man couldn't hurt him. Man couldn't get in his heart. Man couldn't bring him down on the inside. David, rather like God, saw the good in man and looked and said, what is God doing in this situation? What work is God doing? I know God is for me. I know God is for me. So I know this thing is going to turn out all right. He's going to make this crooked thing. These people that have been crooked and done crooked things, I know God is making this crooked place straight. He'll work it all out. I don't have to worry about these people. I don't have to be angry at these people. I don't have to be unforgiving. I don't have to be resentful. I don't have to be bitter. I don't have to be hateful. I don't have to be mean. Very protective of myself. That's what I love about David. The very spear that Saul had hurled at him more than one time. There David is. And he's got the saw. He's got the spear. And he calls Saul out and says, come. Tell some of the young men to come up here and get the spear. You can have it back. See, that spear never got in him. He was able to give it back. Turn the other cheek, as Jesus would say. Turn the other cheek. Now walk around hurt and in pain. I'm out here in the wilderness. I got to live in a cave. I can't even go home at night. I got to live in a cave. I'm living out here in the wilderness. People think I'm bad because of him. He's completely ruined my life. Oh, really? You think that's how faith talks? Huh? Ruined your life? God is your life. Can he ruin God? No, he can't ruin God. Is God your life? Then your life can't get ruined because God can't get ruined. Hallelujah. God can only take the thing and cause it to backfire on the devil and work out to promote you in life if you'd get in faith and be an honorable person. Be an honorable person. Expect good things. Expect big things. Even in the midst of what looks like bad people and bad situations, you expect good. And you'll get exactly what you expect. You'll get exactly what you're looking at, what you're focusing on with your heart. And if you're looking up and being respectful and esteeming and valuing, that's the direction you're going. You're going in the very direction you're looking. So I'm going to look up. I said, I'm going to keep looking up. Hallelujah. Keep looking up. Keep looking up, and you'll come up higher and higher and higher and higher. When honor is treated wrong, it doesn't feel hurt, but rather helped and made strong. God will redeem what was taken wrongfully by those you esteem. He will redeem it. He will redeem it. Have confidence in his redemption. Believe that he will redeem it and go right on and keep on esteeming it. Keep on walking in honor, godly honor. You can only be brought down by those you look down upon. Can you say amen? Amen. Say, nothing can bring me down. Because I'm not looking down my nose at anybody. I'm looking up. Hallelujah. Especially God, people God has placed in our life. People that God has placed over our life. I mean, folks go into marriages honoring one another. That's usually a part of the vows that they speak, that they're committed to honoring one another. And next thing you know, the first thing that goes wrong, they're despising one another. Despising one another. And that's why so many times your spouse can hurt you like nobody else. Why can your spouse hurt you like that? How can they hurt you like that? Well, maybe it's because you don't esteem them like you said you would. Maybe you don't value them like you said you would. Maybe you look down on them. Maybe a thing called familiarity has gotten in there. And now we don't have very much respect for them. A lot of times folks just get past the honeymoon. And they lose their respect already. I thought he was wonderful until I saw that he never made his bed in the morning. I thought he was wonderful, but then the dishes, the meals, the mess. How can I respect somebody that leaves their underwear on the floor? You despise them so much that it's so easy for you to get offended at them whenever they say something wrong or do something wrong. This isn't limited to marriages, but I just thought I'd meddle a little bit. Seemed like a good meddling ground. Are you with me? People are so hurt by these people because they say, oh, it's because I expected such great things from them that I was greatly let down. That's a lie. That's a deception. Because if you are really, before offense, there's dishonor. To be offended, you first must despise the one you're offended with. Did you get that? To be offended with someone, you have to first despise them. It wasn't you were honoring them and then they hurt you. No. You got hurt because you first stopped honoring them. That's why they hurt you. Honor overcomes dishonor by remaining honorable. No matter what kind of dishonorable thing happens, you remain honorable, which means what? You're not despising, treating with contempt. But you're being honorable. You're returning honor for the dishonor. Bible tells us, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. How can you do that? Only by faith. It's only by faith. You got to believe that there's someone bigger than the one that did you wrong. And there is, and it's God, and he's in the born-again believer. He's in you. And greater is he that's in you than he that's meddling around with you in the world. Come on. So in order to overcome evil with good, in order to be good back to evil, in order to turn the other cheek, in order to be honorable and esteem and value someone that's despising you and treating you with contempt, you got to have faith in somebody that's bigger than them. You got to have faith in God. Hallelujah. You got to have faith in God. And your faith in God enables you to continue to do good and to honor and think good things about them. Rather than thinking about what they've done wrong and how they treated me and how they hurt me, you're thinking about the good things. There's good things. There's good things in everybody. We can find good. Huh? It's very hard for me to think of anything good about Charlie. I can't think of very good things. I can't think of too many good. You don't live with him. It's very hard to think of good things about Charlie. And then Charlie dies. Charlie dies. And now we go to the funeral. And there's Margaret.
He was so sensitive. He was so tender.
Now I got to hear at the funeral that the guy was flawless. You ever notice that? At the funeral, the guy's flawless. Absolutely. The whole family.
Oh, he was. And he was spiritual. He was. I remember when he went to church. I remember when there was a Christian song play. Now, it's amazing the stories. I mean, people remember every kind of good thing. Right? You'd think the guy was perfect. He lived a perfect life.
Because he's dead now. The devil doesn't care. The devil will let you think all the good things about him. He doesn't care anymore. He's dead. But while he's alive, can anything good come out of Charlie? That's the question. We don't want to get caught up in that. Come on. We're called to be kings and priests unto our God. So what does that mean? We got to be like David the king and not return evil for evil, but be honorable at all costs. Keep our hearts full of honor. And again, David, he didn't continue to live with Saul. He didn't go back with Saul back to the castle. He said, here's your spear, and he sent Saul on his way because he recognized that their relationship wasn't good together. It just wasn't going to work out. The Bible says, as much as depends on you, walk peaceably with all men. It doesn't all depend on you. A good relationship, good fellowship, it takes more than one person. So he recognized by the wisdom of God, not because he was hurt, not because he was offended, he just felt hopeless. It was just the wisdom of God. I'm not going back to the castle with you. And it's just wisdom. Because why? Saul was out of his mind. But David still honored him. Notice here in Mark, the sixth chapter. Mark chapter 6. It says in verse 1. Then he went out from there and came to his own country, Jesus. And his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many, hearing him, were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this, which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? This is his own country. This is his own hometown. This is where he grew up. And unfortunately, there was a lot of familiarity. The people looked at him according to the flesh. And even though Jesus was saying great things, doing great things, they couldn't see the great things. They just saw his humanity. They just saw his flesh. And they couldn't see what God was doing in him. And so they're thinking, well, you know, what is this? All these mighty works are being performed by him. They're puzzled by the whole thing. And they quickly discarded it and said in verse 3, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Now notice, before they got offended at him, they despised him. They treated him as cheap, common. He's the carpenter's son. The more they started, what are these wonders? What are these great words coming out of his mouth? And then they changed gears. They had an opportunity to honor him, esteem him, and say, what is God doing with this man? What kind of anointing is on this man's life? What is this wisdom that God has given? And what is God trying to say to us today? It could have gone that way. They didn't. Instead, they went, well, but wait. And they despised him, treated him as worthless. And that led into what? Them being offended at him. They became offended at him. Verse 4, but Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor. Now notice that. The despising, offended, and then Jesus nails it right there. He says, you don't honor God's prophets. You don't honor God's message. You're not honoring me. Because again, to despise, treat as cheap, is the opposite of valuing to honor. It's the opposite of honoring. So Jesus called it out. A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house, because of that familiarity. We gotta take Jesus' words serious and recognize that familiarity is of the devil, and it affects all of us, and we gotta protect ourselves from it. Because we end up despising the people that are the closest to us and can be the greatest blessing to us. And the people that we could be the greatest blessing to and are called to be the greatest blessing to. But we despise them because of familiarity. Huh? So, without honor. Verse 5. Now he could do no mighty works there, except that he laid his hands on a few people and healed them. Actually, literally in the Greek, it says he laid his hands on a few sick people with minor ailments. See, he couldn't do anything mighty there. He was only able to do some minor things. Instead of opening blind eyes, he helped somebody with pink eye. Big difference in pink eye. That'd be minor, having pink eye, compared to having a blind eye, right? Huh? Somebody has an earache, somebody's deaf. They've never heard it. They haven't heard it. A mighty work would be a healing of a deaf ear. A minor work would be the earache's gone. The ringing stopped. Praise the Lord. Thank God for the minor things. I don't want to live in Minersville. Are you with me? I don't want to stay in the minor. I want to see the mighty. Don't you want to see the mighty? Right here in our hometown? How's it going to happen? We got to come up in our honor. We got to become a more honorable people. We're not going to see the greater manifestations, the greater glory of God in our life, in our church, in our region, in our land, until we learn to be more honorable and to stay far from offense. We're not judging people, criticizing people. People spend so much of their time, you know, when they're smiling on the outside, on the inside. Judging, criticizing. Just criticizing. People are just so full of criticism. That's why so many of these news outlets are so successful. Criticism. People feed on criticism. They feed on it. They listen to it. They like it. Call in now and tell us what you're offended about. Call 222-22666. Tell us what's offending you. Offended minds want to know. People are so full of criticism. It's terrible. It's not you know, you can't be friends with everybody. You can't get close to everybody. But the Bible says to honor all men. You don't have to let dishonor get in your heart. You don't have to walk around a hurt, wounded person. Oh, you've had such bad things happen to you, and you walk around all wounded, you know, and oh. And we got ministries. I mean, that's what they spend their time doing, is come to this altar so we can pet you and we'll pour oil on you. It'll never change because this wound is so deep, deep, deep. And you've got such a deep wound. God's love is deeper. God's grace is sufficient. It's greater. Let's lift him up. Why don't we minimize what the devil's done through people? Huh? And why don't we lift up what Jesus is doing in those very same people? Huh? What's Jesus doing? Hallelujah. And let's see the good. Saul of Tarsus, he was killing Christians. He was having them thrown in prison. I mean, he was running around making havoc of the church. And you know what the church did? They prayed for him. They didn't curse him to hell. They prayed for him. And you know what? Saul became Paul the apostle, who his letters written by inspiration of the Holy Spirit through him are still affecting our lives today and will throughout all eternity. Wow! Do we have any more Sauls out there? Who would say their ex-husband could make a good Saul? Who would say, huh? There's some Sauls out there. Who's to say they can't become a Paul? Who's to say they can't become a Paul? I like Smith Wigglesworth, you know, his story about his wife, Polly. I mean, you know, he was a rough plumber, and he was just rough with her. And but she just kept loving. She got filled with the Holy Spirit, was just loving Smith, you know, Smith Wigglesworth, who went on to become a great apostle, great man of God, has raised people from the dead, done great things. And but before that, he was a rough guy to live with. And finally, one night, Smith Wigglesworth told Polly, he said, "Now you go down to that church. I'm not letting you back in this house." And she wasn't just saying, "Don't go to that church service." He was telling her, "You ain't going to church anymore." She said, "Well, Smith, you're my husband, but Jesus is my Lord. And I got to obey him." And, you know, she honored him. She respected him. She valued him. But she said, I got to obey Jesus. And she said, "Well, I'm locking the door. You ain't coming back in this house if you go." She said, "Well, you do what you got to do, Smith." And she left, went to church. Well, she came home that night, and the door was locked. She was locked. Well, the next morning, Smith got up. Of course, his wife wasn't lying next to him, you know. And he got up and went to the door. He opened the door, and his wife, who was leaning up against the door sleeping, just fell in the door. And then she bounced right up on her feet, and she looked at Smith. She said, "Good morning, Smith. Can I fix you some breakfast?" And she went in there and made him breakfast, and Smith got saved. Smith got saved. Praise God. Hallelujah. They didn't get divorced. He got saved. And I'm not saying divorce is something that should never happen, because there's a place, like I said, there's some relationships you got to get out of. But thank God, you know, Polly, she just loved him. She just loved him. And he got saved. She didn't let what he did get inside her. She continued to honor him. She continued to esteem him in her heart. And for him, it doesn't turn out this way for everybody, but for Smith, it turned out for his salvation. He ended up getting born again as a result of it. Glory to God. Why? Because that releases the ability of God. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Notice this here. They were in familiarity. They despised Jesus, thus got offended at him. Jesus said it was their lack of honor. And then no mighty works could be done. And verse 6 says, and he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. Notice that. He marveled because of their unbelief. Their unbelief. Notice that. Unbelief, offense, dishonor. It all goes together. So we just swing it around. Faith, honor. They go together. Faith people are honorable people. I said faith people are honorable people. Jesus didn't dishonor them. He didn't return dishonor. But the Bible says that, you know, they came in another gospel account. The people rose up. They got so angry. They were so hurt. They were so wounded by him that he could do this. They grabbed him and they were going to throw him off the cliff. And Jesus, just about when he got to the edge of the cliff, he just turned around. And the Bible says he just walked right through the midst of them, went his way. He just quietly departed. He didn't get into dishonor. He didn't get ugly. He didn't start yelling at them, right? He didn't start being mean to them. Why? Because he wasn't full of hatred towards them, even though they treated him this way. Going to throw him off a cliff. Are you kidding me? He turns around and loves him, but he knew he couldn't stay there. He couldn't live there. That wasn't a place to live. You live there, you end up off cliff. You know, so you wake up in the middle of the night on the bottom of the cliff. Can't live in here. Huh? So what did he do? He just quietly turned and departed. Nothing got ugly. They were ugly. He didn't get ugly. Did he get ugly? No, he didn't get ugly. Hallelujah. He just departed. The only way the situation can get ugly is if you are. The only way the situation can get ugly is if you get ugly. But thank God you can stay beautiful in the midst of ugly people. So it doesn't have to get ugly. You don't have to have this screaming back and forth. We don't have to go yelling back and forth. We don't have to carry on. Just because they're carrying on, we don't have to carry on. Come on! That's being honorable. I said, that's being honorable. And we can grow in being honorable people. And what's going to happen if we do? We're going to find ourselves more honored. We're not going to walk around hateful and resentful just because some hateful, resentful person did something to us. I'm not saying it wasn't bad. I'm just saying God's better. I'm not saying it didn't hurt. I'm just saying God could turn it all around to help. He could turn it into an advantage instead of a disadvantage if you'll get in faith and you'll believe and not become a part of the dishonorable offendedness. Let's walk in the honor of God. Hallelujah. Let's esteem others. Let's value human lives. People are precious. We care about others. We love people. Come on. And it's unconditional. Oh, glory to God. David became the thing he honored. He honored the king, and he became the king. You are called to be kings. David was anointed to be king, but that wasn't enough. David had to honor the king to become the king. It wasn't enough to be anointed. You're all anointed to be kings and priests. Now, walk in the honor of God. Honor the king. Honor the king. Honor the people he honors. Love and esteem others. Huh? And what's going to happen? Man, that kingly anointing that's on your life is going to put you in places, praise God, where you'll find yourself ruling and reigning in life. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, stand on your feet with me. Thank the Lord. You know, everybody's been wronged at one time or another in their life. But you've got to make a decision. Are you going to magnify the wrong that was done? Huh? You going to magnify everything bad about your spouse and how awful and everything else? You could do that. But that's just going to, what's that just going to do? It's just going to cause dishonor to increase and hurts and wounds to increase and people becoming more and more offended with one another. And then what's the next thing Jesus said? He said, many will be offended in the last days, and then false apostles, false prophets, deception is going to rise up in these last days. When there's offense, people are offended, they are blinded. When you're walking around hurt by somebody, you become blind spiritually and become prey for false, deceiving people. But I'm going to walk in love and stay in the light. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I know through God, it's all going to turn out right. Because if God be for me. Huh? Turn to your spouse. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Who can be against you? Nobody. Nobody. Come on. Shout, God is for me.
God is for me.
Hallelujah. Come on, why do you praise him like you mean it? Praise the Lord. Glory to God.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org, and you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.